Vectis Radio. Vectis Radio. FM 104.6. Bringing the island's community together.
The Mid Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy, and support to businesses, public sector, and private clients across the island. PC Consultants, an award-winning company celebrating 25 years in business.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Vectis Radio. It's 12:05 and we've got our lunchtime social discussion, and very pleased and privileged to say we've got the council leader, Dave Stewart, in. Morning, afternoon, Dave.
Afternoon, absolutely.
How are you?
Very well, very well. Thank you for inviting me down.
No, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I know that, you know, the main reason why you're in was last week there was the announcement of what is now going to be a consultation period for a fixed link. Dare I say the fixed link?
Fixed link. For the Medina Bridge, which we would have announced a little bit earlier, but we had this purdah period for the European elections. And so I wanted to be able to tell people myself about it and what it meant for the island. And so we released the information, as you say, last week. I'm really pleased and excited. I think it's something that's well overdue. And I should be on the case of those responsible for getting the study done, because those, and there are many islanders who sit in those traffic queues in the morning, will say, could we not do something different here? And that's what we're going to do.
It is needed. I mean, you know, say the study is a good idea. And we're getting good at this fixed link thing, because we fixed the one out there, haven't we?
Which was, oh, yeah, that was amazing. I mean, people that can't see because we're on the radio, we're talking about the bridge just under the quay that leads us into here, actually. Yeah. And it was quite interesting watching Island Roads take the old one out, which was a bit more complicated than they thought, because they had to chop it up into pieces. But they put the new one in. I've just walked across it, and given their due, we said it's got to be in time for the festival, because so many people use that, and it's in time for the festival.
Excellent. And that, now, you know, we can concentrate on bigger ones.
We're into bridges at the moment. You know, I mention my dear friend, the floating bridge. The fact of life is, I think it was in April, we had 100% of what we intended in terms of going over. But for me, the floating bridge is a really important connectivity between East and West Cowes. Yes, it's cost some money, and those that left us that new bridge, you know, I'm always saying to them, you know, lots of things, but at the end of the day, we've got to take responsibility, get it as best we can, and make sure people can get to work, get to school, etc., and it's running.
Okay. Well, excellent. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. And we'll focus on so technically, you know, I'm joking when I say fixed link, because I know that will prick people's ears up, but in the right way, hopefully.
Yeah.
Because you want people to be engaged in, you know, having a say and so on and so forth for the next. How long have we got?
In terms of today, or in terms of the actual study?
No, the actual study itself.
Well, we're looking to get it done within the next 12 months, so that we have some clarity about what people want. But you're absolutely right. If I was living in East Cowes, in Whippingham, or in West Cowes, in Horsebridge Hill, whatever, I'd be thinking, okay, what does this mean for me? So it's really important that we engage with our local people. There are a lot of people, and as I say, I'm one of them, that's sad to sit in those queues because they're coming from Cowes or Ryde, you know, what that's doing to the environment, I don't know. Anything we do is going to improve that situation. And actually, we want to be an island that's very connected. We want to be an island that's got good infrastructure. It's all right talking about it. I think you've got to get out there and start doing things. So, yeah, I'm really excited. One of the good things is we'll be working with colleagues from Hampshire on some of the design. They've got some fantastic expertise, and we've built a good partnership with Hampshire County Council.
Yeah.
And they're going to be working with us on it. So I'm really pleased.
Excellent. I mean, one thing that is quite pleasing to know is that you're doing this over a period of a year. So you get all seasons, you know, because obviously it's busier in the summer than it is elsewhere. But you'll get that whole year's worth of detail, some data, and so on and so forth. So it won't be like based on, well, we have a busy summer and so on and so forth.
No, and we know on the island here what our freight flow is like. We've got Red Funnel now with their new freight ship, so that's working through. We know up through the Medina comes all the turbine blades for the wind farms, so we have to make sure we're the right side of that premises. There's a lot of activity on the Medina that probably people that don't use it regularly would not appreciate. Even down here at the harbour entrance, which is another big project which we're working on, it all has to come together in my view. So that's why it's important we take our time and get it right. But be in no doubt, and I will say to you, be in no doubt, this is a determination to do something for the island. And funnily enough, I'm not unduly worried about the long-term cost, because if necessary, it will be a toll bridge. But actually, that will help us to get the funding in from government or whatever.
Right.
And people will be happy to pay a bit, probably save money if they sit in that flipping traffic queue.
Yeah.
And be able to get through and away, which is what I think they want to do.
Okay. So, I mean, when you say a toll bridge, how expensive is that going to be?
Well, that's an interesting question, because if you go over at Southampton at the moment on the Itching Bridge, I think it's about 60p is what they pay.
And they've just put it up 20p
have they?
In the last couple of days. Yeah. They've just announced.
Yeah, you know, personally, I am speculating a little bit, but I would have thought, you know, between £1 or £2, somewhere in that kind of range if you're a car.
Yeah.
But frankly, you will save money if you're having to come into Newport and come out the other side to get the cows, you'll jump across.
Yeah.
Also, it's good for the island environment. So, no figures set, but something in that range. The other thing I'd like to see is it forms part of our island drive for walking and cycling. We've had a lot of work going on. My colleague John Hobart is working on the coastal path for the walkers. We've got very, very good opportunities to get the cycling underway. So it would be crazy not to be able to access across from east to west without a cycleway.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned there about the walk-in, cycling and so on and so forth. How will it affect people going the other way? Because obviously because we walk along there quite often, you know, both sides of the river. It is a lovely walk. And I think what people should do, before they jump on the bandwagon they should go in for a walk along there.
Well,
have a little look, because there is plenty of stuff along there. There is plenty of things that, you know, factories and things like that, and it's a really, really good walk. One thing that the only two negative things that I can think of. One is okay, there's lots of people that walk and cycle both sides. How is that going to affect them?
Okay, so I think we would have to be sympathetic to maintaining that. We're putting a lot of work in to that facility here on the island, and a lot of people come to the island just to enjoy it, so we need to be complementing that. I came down through the East Cows and walked down by Island Harbour recently, and as you say, it's a beautiful walk, and until you get there, so you want to encourage that. On the West Cow side, as you know, you can cycle right down through to Newport from West Cows, so I think the bridge should complement that, and if you're a cyclist wanting to get across, then we should blend that in. That level of detail isn't there yet, and I'm not going to, you know, don't want lots of people saying, oh, flippin' he wants to bring it up there or bring it up here. What I want to see is a good piece of structure that is future-proofed, so that it actually does something long-term for future, and actually does do what it's to help island activity.
Okay. Hey, just picture. You know that there's lots of things down there. There's lots of little sanctuaries and places where the birds and so on and so forth. And, you know, I'm guessing it's not going to affect that too much. It's just going to have some kind of crossing somewhere along the line.
I think you hit a really important point, which is the bridge itself. I've in my vision, see quite a big bridge, a high bridge, so we don't have problems with vessels underneath. Where it actually sits on either side has to be taking account of the environment, but also has to take account of the best flow in and out on the two sides. All of those issues, all the ecology issues, all the environmental issues, clearly we want to take into account. But the benefits that I believe this will bring us on the island will be worth it in the long run.
Yeah, as I say, I can only think of two things that maybe look at it and think on the surface it may have a negative impact. But if we deal with it and we know what they are, then I'm sure that we can alleviate some of the pressures there. Because the positives are so, well, they are. They're there for everybody to see. We all know that, you know, if you come into Newport, there are days when you are sat in traffic.
Well, I went out to Cowes, I think it was yesterday, and I was following the line of the traffic coming in and thinking, and I was past Newport, past the prisons, and now I'm up towards the county ground, and I'm thinking, do people do this every day? Mm. And I'm sure there are people listening, going, yeah, we flipping well do. And so you kind of think, well, surely we... Because you have to remember, not everything is coming into Newport to just come to Newport. Some vehicles are coming through Newport to go out the other side and away.
Yeah.
And when you're coming, say, from Ryde, you may not be coming into Newport to work. Oh, well, you are because you have to, but you would prefer to do something differently. So understanding what we call the traffic modelling is going to be an important part of this. appreciating where people are going and thinking, and that will probably bring us on in due course to talk about some of the other things we're talking around St Mary's Roundabout and things like that.
Would that tie into it? Because obviously that's a plan as well.
Yeah, so in summary terms, we managed to get an award from government. I'm going to say 9 million, but I may be sort of, it sounds loose, but in the 1 or 2 millions either way.
Yeah.
But that money was ring-fenced to help develop and address the Newport traffic flow particularly. And those, again, that come off the industrial estate at Newport will know what it's like sitting in the queue trying to get on, difficulties people have getting over towards Forest Road, etc. Now, the design that we've got, which has been cross-checked as well, will alleviate that. We've also got the plans coming in. Those that come in from Blackwater will know you get to where the sort of cinema area is, and you kind of, shall I go for it now and go into the ride lane or not? Well, you'll be able to do that all the way through from that previous roundabout, which will help that flow as well. So there's several parts to that piece of Newport infrastructure. And the other thing I'd like to see, and I know the Newport councillors would be pleased to hear me say something, is we've got to make Newport a destination. It is our premier town on the island. You know, we're looking to do work around the whole Newport Quay. I'm probably one of those that suffers a bit of chrism, so I'd like to see the water kept in to give the quay water all the time, and I know there's issues around that, but if we can make Newport the town a destination, not so much worrying about all the retail, because that is what it is, and we all know that towns and cities are getting, you know, battered by the online, but actually a destination in its own right, a place to come and socialise and enjoy. I think that all has to be part of the journey here.
Do you see that a high street will then take care of itself if you've got that system in place?
Well, I'm very interested. We're putting for some very significant funding. Newport was selected of all the towns on the island to go for what they call the Cities Fund bid. And the Southern Local Enterprise Partnership have worked with us on this because we need to invest in a modern thinking Newport. Because if you walk up at the moment, it feels sometimes like it's dying. And that's a real shame, because actually the history there, some of the unique features of it, some of the unique shops, we should try and bring Newport to life, I think.
Yeah, I think that's music to a lot of people's ears, purely and simply because, you know, you walk around the town and you know what you see. You see an awful lot of charity shops and so on and so forth, and you see businesses struggling, and you don't want to see them struggling. But, you know, is it a case of, I mean, when you look at the amount of people that have just moved in up behind Newport Football Club as is now, and at this point some while ago, you got, what, 800 odd houses up there, and it's still the same amount of people that go and watch Newport play. There's still the same amount of people going in the high street. So it doesn't necessarily mean that if we've got a crowd more people that we are going to be, you know, incredibly busy in the town. Yeah, you made a point just now about the, you know, people are shopping online. And the sad thing is we're all going to do it if it's cheaper, aren't we? And I think until we can actually, I don't think this is a council issue. The fact is, you can't stop people from shopping online because it's far cheaper. And, you know, if Newport are down in a lower league, then they're not going to get people coming and watching. You know, it's a big thing for me. Newport is, they've always been there, but we've got all those people that are now living nearby, and still the same amount of people turn up. And the high street is kind of, well, it's there, but it's not doing brilliantly well. I'd love to see it really, really busy. You go on the mainland and you see all these new places that are pedestrianised and it's lovely, and all of a sudden, but do we have the people for it?
I think we do have, particularly in the seasons, we have the people. It's interesting. I was doing some recent research at, you know, take Jersey for example, 800,000 tourists a year. Isle of Wight, 2.4 million.
Incredible amounts.
Yeah, people like coming here. And what's interesting is when they come here, and I'm sure lots of people have done this, they say, oh, I didn't know the Isle of Wight was like this, because our sales, if you like, beyond the island, whilst everybody tries their best, it's actually trying to show just what's on offer here. Walk the Wight. I was walking with people from Brighton. I said, what are you doing near them? They said, we just wanted to come here, which is fantastic on the Isle of Wight. And you think, we probably underplay our own island.
Definitely.
And we got to do more of that. But I think things like having a real good destination that then we can publicise and say, you know, because if you go to the West Country, you'll think about places you can go there or whatever. We need our destination. And all of this, be it the Medina Bridge, the Newport Regen, the town, is all part of us improving our island offer.
You made a point about the water just now, and I think, yeah, what a great idea would that. That would look much better.
I know I'm pretty treading on some toes of some people who are very much into the, you know, the worms and the birds and all of that stuff, and I understand that, but all those things are manageable. The thing is, if you go to anywhere where they've got a haven like Newport is designed to have, you go to Birmingham to their canals. If you go elsewhere, London, you look at their water area and the socialisation that's going on around, the one thing that people like to see is the water. And when the tide comes in at Newport, it is a beautiful place. Now, when the tide goes out there, as I say, well, look, there you see the natural kind of departure. But you have to weigh out what you're trying to create here. And I think we're trying to create a desire to come to Newport and experience. And experience is the way I'd put it.
Okay. When you say come to Newport, can they come to Newport? Obviously, you know, it would be great if we had some kind of marina-type place where it was, you know, lots of boats could float up and...
I was down at the Breeze at Island Harbour, and those that have been there for a meal will know it's looking quite impressive there. Yeah. I hope they finish off the houses they're building. But it is impressive, and on a summer's day, it's a very, very positive experience. But people would be able to come further down and also encourage that kind of flow, because the whole life around a marina estuary would be growing in itself. And if you're not from there, and I live over in Knighton, but I understand the different style that comes in living around a marina. The houses, I mean, I was talking to one chap down at Whippingham East Cows, down on the by their little pub that they've got down there.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, this is amazing. And he's sitting there having his breakfast, looking out at probably what I would think is one of the nicest views you could have. You know, the yachts, it was just amazing. I think that's what we want to create, so that people can enjoy the destination.
We don't make enough of it, you said.
And
I think with a bit of tinker in this end as well, it could be absolutely amazing. Where you look at other people, they've got marinas and that, and the amount of boats and things. You know, it's not just people driving, people floating up the river as well. And you know, where's the first place they're going to hit? They're going to hit the town because they probably want to go and get some food and other things as well. So hopefully that will benefit. How long are we away from, you know, just say for instance, you know, I'm sure all of this thing will be all tied in over the next, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. But how long before we get 12 months under our belt with figures and data and so on with the connection between East and West Cows? Then how long would it be before we can say that's going to happen?
Let's imagine we have the design. We've worked through where it's all going. We've done costings. We then need to source the funding for that level of infrastructure. But it's a funny thing. It almost feels like the larger bid you make, the more you seem to be able to access those people that can provide it, you know. So we're probably talking around the sort of 30 to 50 million kind of figure, and that's my Dave Stewart amateurish judgment. But actually, you know, our Solent Local Enterprise Partnership can access that kind of funding. We're on their list already. The Medina Bridge is at the bottom of their infrastructure list, and I'm pleased about that, because I can always point to them and say, we've already started, it's on your list, it's one of your priorities, let's get there. Government are very keen, as you know, at the moment, to provide housing for people. Well, as long as we manage that, and with Camp Hill, if that comes on stream, we can do that. Our marine industry that's on the east side, you know, White Ship Building and all the fantastic cutters they're making there. So all of that's happening, and therefore, if you're an investor, you think, well, actually, you know, am I going to get a return on my investment? Well, yes, I am. And that's why I think the toll has a key part, because if you're going to borrow money, you need to be able to pay it back. But going back to the Itchen Bridge, they've well over their time. And even the connectivity into Wales, if you can remember the M4 link over there.
Yeah.
Now it's all paid for through their toll. They took the toll away. So for me, it would be an income stream as well. It's, you know, there's not to hide the fact. And we're fortunate on the island that we're not bottom of the league now in the financial situation, but we're certainly not at the top. So we're always being innovative as to how we can keep money coming in for our island.
I look at this idea, and I mean, it's a grower. Honestly, it's growing on me. I mean, we all know what the problems are, and we have to alleviate them. And, you know, when we start talking about tolls and things like that, you think, you said it just now, and I totally agree. Well, look, you can either go around the other way, because no one's going to put their arm up your back, and but if you want to waste petrol and pollute the atmosphere a bit more, then that's fine. You'll be out of pocket. Plus, you know, it'll have knock-on effects for you as well. So it makes sense to put something in. You know, nothing's for free in this uh, in in this world, and we've got to get out of that mentality that it actually is. I've got loads of questions.
That's all right. Do you want to play some music or something?
No, I don't want to play some music.
You keep going.
If you're happy,
I'm very happy.
I just want to change tack for a bit, but it all joins up. Obviously, we have to think for the future. We have to, you know, we're building houses because, you know, there'll be some people that will say, we need to have these houses, and we do. There'll be other people that will say, you know, we don't need to build that many houses, but we might have to. And we've also got to have the infrastructure in place. And putting this bridge down, this toll, is something that is we're working for the future, and we're actually thinking about it, rather than just going ahead and steamrolling in loads and loads of houses, not having put actually changing anything and putting anything in place to hopefully save us. I watched something on the TV last week, and I thought, why aren't we doing that? I remember having a conversation with a previous chief exec, bearded little fella, and I remember giving him the idea and saying, hey, look, in a few years' time, you're going to roll out plastic bins. Wouldn't it be great if we had a factory on the island that made plastic bins? Then we could actually, you know, supply our own bins. And not only that, when we get to a system where we've got green waste, only got 7,000, we could actually, you know, make more and put something else in place and so on and so forth. I'm getting around to the point I'm going to make. Houses. They were making houses in a factory and then putting them on a plot of land. And I'm thinking, how great would that be if we could do that on the island? All these houses that we're actually building, we don't have to rely on mainland companies and mainland workers. We can actually have something here, build it ourselves. Because this thing is not a 6 month or a 12 month or even a 3 year contract. This thing is going to go on for years and years and years. And wouldn't it be better if we actually took control of that and made our own houses here? Because I'm sure we can.
Well, let me almost begin to think you've got insider knowledge. It's amazing, Ian. So let's talk about the housing numbers, first of all, because people saw the numbers that were put out in the initial island plan consultation, and everybody got into quite a noise about it. Those numbers were modelled on a government structure, which is what is applied across the country. However, the one thing we have been doing, and I've been engaged with our MP, Bob Seeley, on this now for a few weeks, is look to what alternative proposals we can put up to government as to why we're a bit of a unique case and what we don't need. Now, we're very fortunate. We've got a fantastic area on the West Wight, what we call the area of outstanding natural beauty, and we are waiting at the moment for the result on the biosphere bid that we did, which will give it further preservation, if that's the right way of putting it. We know we need houses. There will be young people even listening today who say, I need a house, but I can't afford it. So we know we need some affordable housing. We know we have a high elderly population who need extra care but don't really want to go in a hospital. So what I do is I try and look at the balance between what we need based on the evidence and what is in the figures and see if we can come to a more moderate place, and that's what we're doing at the moment. But what's interesting about what you said is we've just been looking at these modular builds just as you've described, and we've actually bought some to start erecting on the island, or we're in the process of doing that. We'll be releasing more information on this shortly, but what I've seen and my immediate colleagues have seen is modular building, which can go up in a matter of a very few weeks. In fact, I've seen one choice which can go up in a week. Their minimum, if you like, guarantee is 60 years. So we're not talking about something going to fall over tomorrow.
No, exactly.
It's mortgageable.
Yeah.
It's state-of-the-art inside. I mean, if you're in my kitchen, well, I'd be in your kitchen, but, you know, even mine's reasonably modern, but this thing is absolutely state-of-the-art. So you're getting, and they cost £20 a month to run. And you think, well, and the prices I've seen range between, you know, 50 and 90K for the actual building. So you can do your own maths.
Yeah.
We're starting to talk about housing that is affordable, that has long life, that will be in the reach of our young people. Actually, probably a few other people will look at them and think, actually, oh, am I getting into that? And we are looking at that on here on the island. Stage two, so first is let's get that going. Stage two is absolutely what you said, Ian. Let's get them being built on the island to save the cost of even bringing them over.
Yeah.
And so then, and also it's a different kind of skill set, because traditionally, obviously, you've got brickies and you've got plumbers and you've got et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of this stuff is already built into the whole thing. So it's actually a different trade we could teach our young people. So I think you're right. I think it's a two-stage process, but we're on that already. Good. And I'm really pleased we're on it.
Excellent. No, that's good. I mean, it fills me with confidence, and I'm now looking at it and thinking, well, okay, boy. And I know your old motto is, why can't we?
Yeah.
And indeed, why can't we? Why are we letting someone else build our houses? We can do our own. We're not useless, are we?
Sometimes it's just challenging your own mindset a little bit and seeing what can be done.
Yeah. Well, do you see it as a... stick your chin out and say, are you confident that we can pull this off?
Which one? The housing?
We build them. We take control.
I mean, my colleague Stuart Hutchinson and I, and Barry Abrams is our lead guy. I mean, Barry and Claire, another one of our members, they've all been going out looking. Wayne over at Rye, they've all been to see these things. There's, for example, a company in Spain that are about to move to Wales, so they're bringing it over to the UK. They're coming to us. The island is really pushing itself out there at the moment. And as over the next few months, Co, you'll see people will hear us talking about engagement we've had all over the place. And the reason we're doing it is because we don't want to just sit here and see our island go down. We want our island to be something, to be what we said, a great place, you know, an inspirational place to grow up, to live, and lots of people live, to work, and actually for people to visit. Because as we said at the start, the more visitors we get in the season, the better it is for our economy, and also it gives us employment.
Definitely now is the time to do something. We can't sit and bury our heads in the sand. We really do need to do something. And there will be people out there that don't like change and so on and so forth. And I think we just got to accept it, that they're never ever going to be pushing the change button and so on and so forth. But we need to. Otherwise, where are we going to be in 20 years' time? We're going to be in an even worse state than we are now.
Well, digital. Just take digital. I mean, and I'm. You are not talking to the most digitally orientated person, I'll be honest about it.
I saw you use your phone earlier on.
Yeah, I talked to it. I found I can talk to it. But we've embarked on a programme of digitalisation, and we're already through the first stage with white fibre, which will mean that people will have the ability to, right to their house, have super fast broadband. Well, that opens up a whole range of things. For the people that are... in elderly and want to stay in their own homes, it allows us to get more and more technology in to help them do that. That's a good thing. To young people who seem to spend an awful lot of time surfing the net, if that's the right phrase, I'm probably out of date on that. The speed with which they can do things, download things and do things, because that's the world in which we're living, they'll be able to do that. Our businesses, and we've got now, we've got a census over at Cowes, and everybody said, I won't survive. Actually, it's expanding. We're now serving the world through a call centre that's driven by this power of our technology. Don't need a ferry to do it.
Yeah.
So we've got to be bold enough to say we're going to get into this digital world and we're going to make the island available for business. And there is, never ceases me to find out just what technological businesses we've got here on the island servicing the whole world. You know, forget Europe, these people are all over the show. So I think we've got and it all joins up for me. We promote good stuff for the island.
And let's point out as well that Ascensos are one of the highest employers now, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're just looking to expand. You know, when you get businesses that are into the 200 to 300 plus, you're into big business. You've got even White Shipyard. I was talking to Peter Morton over there and all of his team, you know, 150 plus young people involved in aluminium welding, which is not just... You know, it's a more technical. He's sending ships off to Mexico and all sorts of places, and you just think that's from the Isle of Wight.
We should be shouting about this.
Yeah, we try to, but it is difficult. Communication is always difficult. You know, we can step into. I get a little column in the county press, and I try and tell people what's going on.
Yeah,
Isle of Wight Radio talk to me. You're good enough to talk to me, and I'm only sharing what it is. And the nice thing is, it's all true in my heart, so I don't have to try and pretend I've said something or not. You just say it how it is, and you know, people can judge that accordingly.
But you know, say if we need that information to shout about, and sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot with that information. Sometimes it's slow coming out, and we need to be. You know, bigging ourselves up, and we do shoot ourselves in the foot quite often with, you know, the way we talk ourselves down sometimes. And we've got such a brilliant Isle of Wight here that, you know, with a plan and things that are going to change, and you know, much for the better, and so on and so forth. You know, people will need to sit up and take note, but we need to drive that. as an island. You know, it shouldn't just be down left to
leader. And I know it's a bit political, but you know, I've now been speaking to people recently off island. People saying, "Oh yeah, well, we heard about the Isle of Wight some time ago. They were all going bust. They're not going bust on this island. People of our residents have worked with us on our budgets. We've put ourselves in a place where we've got a stable budget. We're now starting to do some interesting things. You're hearing about the Magina Bridge. You'll hear over the next few months lots of good things that we're trying to get for the island. And for me, it's not about politics. I'm an islander. My kids live here. My grandkids live here. And actually, I'm very happy to work with anybody if we can make this the great place it should be. And we're getting there. And we're certainly not in that little list that was in the paper nationally, you know, the bottom 11, whatever it is. We're out of that. And now the government is trying to look at the island in a positive way. I will give Bob Seeley is due on this one. He does put us in front of a lot of different ministers and things, and I frankly will go and talk to anybody if it's going to help the island.
Good for you. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to wheel in the Nipper that you've already met.
Oh, that young man, yeah.
He's got some stinky questions for you, Dave. I may have had a hand in some of them. Hopefully you'll take
it. He's also got his lunch with him because he was telling me.
Yeah, he's finished his lunch now. He's giving me the
nod.
Thumbs up. He's coming in. Give it 2 minutes. We should be back. Vectis Radio. 104.6. The heart of the island's community.
We all know that keeping fit and healthy eating is important. We also know that regular exercise is part of a healthy lifestyle. But we also know that finding the time, motivation and energy isn't easy. The Fit Mindset Code is here to help. Contact Danny on 07966 070 636 or visit our website on www.thefitmindsetcode.com. We offer a holistic, systematic approach to health and well-being because it's all in the mindset.
Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. The one-hour train ride takes you through unspoiled countryside and woodland. So come and enjoy a journey with a difference at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. For further details, visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
The Four P's Project is proudly supported by Wheeler's Solicitors, helping you achieve your aims in life. We deal with residential and commercial conveyancing, wills, lasting powers of attorney, and probate. For more information, call us on 01983 533 938 or check out wheelers-solicitors.com.
Dementia can be a lonely and frightening place, not just for the person diagnosed, but for families too. Families need someone with the expertise, experience and empathy to guide them through the challenges of dementia. Through a growing number of specialist Admiral nurses, Dementia UK is working tirelessly to make sure that every family living with dementia has access to the support they need. To find out more, visit dementiauk.org today. You can also call the Admiral Nurse Dementia Helpline on 0800 888 6678 or email helpline at dementiauk.org. Thank you.
Welcome. Program activated. Synchronizing. Please enter your username. Username accepted.
Tune into a different galaxy. The Chip Dancehall Show is every Saturday night from 6 till 7. Come and join the rave with me, Chip.
Are we having a party or something?
Okay, lovely.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, broadcasting from the Riverside Centre in Newport, giving people the opportunity to broadcast no matter their age or ability. We make entertaining radio whilst offering affordable advertising for local businesses. Vectis Radio, vectisradio.com.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
Welcome back to part two. It's 21 minutes away from one. We have Council Leader Dave Stewart in, and we've also got Oscar Paxman in as well. He's got a couple of questions for you, Dave. I must admit, I may have tampered with one of them, all right?
See if we can spot it. I'll watch your body language, and if you start cringing, I'll know this is the one.
It's a cheeky question, Dave.
That's all right.
I know you'll take it as, you know, how it's meant. What's your first question then, Oscar?
How much do you get paid?
How much do I get paid? Not enough, I'd say. So I think the pay of the council for councillors, that's not officers, and I'm not an officer, I'm a councillor, comes down in several bits. So everybody who's a councillor on the Isle of Wight gets an allowance, they call it. It's about £7,000, you know, give or take. So every councillor, all 40, that's what they get. And then as the leader of the council, on top of that, I think I get another 15k or something. So I'm on this superlative allowance of around about, how much is 15 and 7, 23, 24.
Yeah.
Yeah, so certainly around that, maximum of about £28,000 a year. Now, I think the island average wage is not particularly high, and probably I'm in around there or just above some. But I can assure you some of the officers of the council, and I don't decry them, they're professionals, would earn considerably more than me as leader. But I find, people say, why do you do it? I get that a lot from people. Do you know what? I do it because I think I've got a little window of opportunity to make a difference.
Yeah, good for you.
That's
and,
it.
And I think that's, you know, this bridge and so on and so forth. And yeah. It's all a positive thing, and I look at it. And you must get some stick, though, Dave, with it, because you just mentioned to some people that's a piddly amount of money for the stick that you have to probably take, and any other council leader that's done in the past, because it's one of those thankless jobs. You're always going to get stick, aren't you?
Yeah, you people often ask me, you know, why do you do it? Because they know that happens. I do it because I enjoy it, because I think I can make a difference in my time that I'm in this role. Being an islander, I do understand how we think as an island, and those that are off island sometimes don't always think in the same direction. Mm-hmm. So I can contribute a bit there. And at the end of the day, when I do finally retire from all this stuff, I'll be able to sit and enjoy some of the fruits of maybe what I've achieved. I get frustrated when people seem to have the wrong motives to do things. And I always remember what I call the silent majority. So there's a lot of people out there who suddenly become experts in floating bridges and all sorts.
Yeah.
But the silent majority in the island who just go to work every day, get their kids to school, do their bit. You know, they have their time, and I represent them as well. So I just try and do the best I can. And to be honest, I'm not perfect.
Well, the thing is, we're all going to we're all going to look at life and we think, well, we'll look at it slightly differently. And I'll say that's just the way we've got to do it. But, I mean, you just mentioned there the old silent majority. And it must mean that the silent majority are fairly happy with what's going on.
Yeah, I think I like to, and I do get people come up and say, you know, thanks for doing that, doing this. They know, I'm quite keen on going to parish council meetings, sadly, because I think the volunteers, and they are volunteers, I was out at Shorewell yesterday, they care about all the little things that are going on. We were talking about a little bridge over at Shorewell, which needs upgrading because it was all part of the footpath network.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah, that's a good point. So I want to go back in and ask our officers what's happening about that. I'll get somebody else. Well, I can remember the one that was interesting recently was the Island Roads were doing Fitzroy Street. They're in the problem. Might have done it by now. I don't know. But it was certainly going to take about 40 days. And I was thinking, well, all those people in those houses that live there won't be able to get to their house for 40 days. Now, just imagine that. Yeah. So I said, we've got to be able to do something for these people. Let's get them a ticket in a car park or something so that they... And it's just been... I suppose I feel like I try and apply a practical mind to those situations to help people get through things. It's the way it should be, you know. Island Roads, they all moan. But I tell you what, you go along the military road, it's beautiful along there. Fantastic bridges they built, viaducts. And we are very lucky because I tell you, on the mainland, and those that go will know, some of the roads are pretty bad. We're not in that place. No, yeah. It's not perfect, but we're getting a lot better now.
I know what you mean. A bit, the little bits that I do travel on the mainland, I do think, crikey, yeah, ours, the ones that have been done, they are awesome. They've done a really good job. You got another question, I think, leads on to the answer that Dave gave.
Is your job rewarding?
Yeah. It is rewarding. It can be frustrating. It can be a little bit stressful at times when you've got big decisions to make and you know there's no perfect answer. But in terms of rewarding, I'm quite proud of being an islander, funnily enough. And I meet all sorts of people, both on and off island. And to be able to have the opportunity to represent my home and where I live is very rewarding, as is seeing something good happen for people. You know, I was down looking at the school being built over at East Cowes the other day, and I was thinking, there's some young people here who are going to benefit from this. That's great. You know, that Seacan place they've got, I've been there two or three times now. Young people who are not necessarily going to be super academics, but they're getting some good training there, and that's good. So I get a chance to maybe meet them. I go to a few of these more ceremonial events. So I have to be honest, I don't see that as my primary role, because we have a chairman of the council who's got all the nice chains and things, and yeah. It's just changed to George, and it's his primary role to do that. But I'll turn up where I can, but mainly I'm trying to network with our island business people and others to see what else we can do. So I'm a bit of a nosy person, I suppose.
Well, do you know, something that Rhaenyra said a couple of months ago when she was in is that there are a number of companies around the Isle of Wight that have offered apprenticeships. There's about 450 young people doing some kind of apprenticeship scheme. But we don't know this because it's not out in the public domain.
Yeah.
It's and again, those things should be shouted about. I mean, Seacam, I drive by that, you know, because I have to drive by to visit the mother-in-law on a regular basis. And you see this building, and you think, what an incredible building. And then you drive down through the, you know, through Whippingham, and you look along the river, and you think, there's a number of other factories there that have popped up, and they're all doing really, really well as well. So there's enough there to be positive about, but we're not.
See, what we offer is a good place to work, you know, whatever business you've got, but a good place to live as well. And we were talking about this with some companies who are looking at the island as an optional place. If you work in London or somewhere, it's a big city, well, it might be good wages and lots of buildings, but environmentally, I can think of a lot better places I want to live.
Yeah.
You come here, you get the best of both worlds. And I think that's why people get attracted, once they can see it, once they can feel it.
You got another question there, Oscar, haven't you?
Yeah.
You got one more. Prepare yourself, Dave.
What do you think of Liverpool winning the Champions League?
That was the one you said. For the listeners, just to declare an interest, I'm a Spurs avid supporter, and I've been to the new ground. I've seen the beer fill up from the bottom. I've seen the contactless life they live out there. But I have to be honest, my son is a Liverpool supporter, and he lives in Sweden, but he's coming back next month. You can imagine the phone calls that kicked in. Good luck to Liverpool, actually, but both Liverpool and Spurs had an amazing semi-final each. And if any football fan will say, that was just something else.
Yeah.
So almost when we got to the final, it was a little bit of an anticlimax, and then with a penalty in 2 minutes, it was like even more. But you have to be bold and take the hit, but when we win it next year, we'll be fine.
Yeah, okay. Don't hold your breath. I reckon there'll be a bridge there across between east and west Gaz before they get.
Is that
in
a bridge
the final,
to the lane? I would probably support that.
Okay, let's come back to the bridge itself, and you know, I'm looking at we've got the Isle of Wight Festival coming up soon.
Yep.
Is that, I mean, are you working with, you know, details with John Giddings and his team? Because obviously, if this is put in the right place and it works, this is going to have major improvements to, you know, certain days of the year when it is a bit chaotic. I mean, you know, it seems to have got that. I mean, I honestly look at this, the way he shoehorns all of that in to that place is incredible, with, I would say, minimum fuss, really. But there are, you know, a couple of days where it is, you know, incredibly busy. If this is put in the right place, is that going to alleviate the
Well, I think, again, it's certainly going to improve the infrastructure to get to and from that area, because, as you know, the festival site where it currently is swallows up the whole of the Fairlie Road pretty well. And then, of course, you've also got the new Newport Football Club, which will be being developed by the racecourse roundabout there.
Yeah.
So the more we can improve the infrastructure and connectivity, the better it will be also for the people that live in Whippingham and East Cowes, because they, you know, I know the festival is only a short period of time, but these people live there all the time. The festival, we're just in that kind of review process coming up now over the next 12 months or so of the contract with them all, but it has put the Isle of Wight on the world map.
Definitely.
Definitely has done that. And, you know, I speak to all sorts of people, and they usually say, Black Gang Chine, because they've been there as a child, usually.
Yeah.
The Isle of Wight Festival, because it has got that level of reputation. And then, depending where you are in history, you know, you're into, well, you know, all the big... I mean, here we are, D-Day. Some of the most famous ships in our naval history were built in Cowes. You know, fantastic, really.
Where do you see... You must have a rough idea of where you're going to put this this bridge.
Well, one side on the west, one side on the east is my rough idea.
That's a politician's answer there.
I think, well, the way I kind of want it to be out of Newport close harbour, in the sense that we're trying to create a destination, so bridges, you know, do bring the structural thing with it. We don't want to, in my mind, undermine any existing business. So the turbine vectors, I lost the name for a second, but the wind turbine organisation there,
yeah.
Vestas,
yeah.
Who are growing, we want to make sure they can get their blades up and down and away. So that kind of puts you this side. You go across on the other side to East Cowes. You've got, say, the fantastic Island Harbour set up there. You've got other we've got other premises along that way. So it's, and of course there are some private landowners in there who may want to play ball or may not. I don't know, but I'm hoping everybody can work together. And that's the secret of the study, is to really think about all these things.
Yeah.
Not just the structure. I'm seeing a big structure. I'd love to see it. You know, New Year's Eve, we're all up there watching as all the fireworks go celebrating, you know, a bit like our mini version of London, and it would be interesting. But yeah, so we work together as a community to get what we want. Because that's the thing, the council is the servant of the community, and sometimes Oscar asked me an interesting question, we are the servants of the community. We get elected in, if we don't do it right, we get elected out. And while we're there, we try and do what we think we would, or we say we would do when we came in. So for me, it's, you know, proving structure, make it a great place. And then, you know, somebody else can follow on from there.
Do you know what's nice, Dave, is talking to you, and then you're saying, right, we could go there, but we've got to be careful of. Could go there, got to be careful of. You're aware of it. And I think if there was more awareness in the world, we would probably be in a much, much better position. We mentioned the floating bridge. This it's just to clarify, is this replacing it, or is it as
no,
well as?
I was asked that very early on, you know, just to replace the floating bridge. My vision at the moment is it's not. They do two different things. I mean, we're talking about a large piece of infrastructure with a Medina Bridge, carrying a lot of traffic that could never go on the floating bridge, you know, trucks, buses, whatever. So you're in a different ballgame. What, for me, the floating bridge, and if I put aside my kind of political view that, you know, I wouldn't have done it in the way they did and we inherited what we did, which is what I would say, but just practically, people need to get from east to west Cowes.
Yeah.
Tourists need to get from east to west Cowes. The thing's manic in Cowes Week and all of that. So it's always going to be serving that community in some form. The question is, have we got the best form? We've got what we've got. We can't give the money back. It doesn't work like that. I've been at about 9 times in the last couple of years to actually get an experience. We've been proving it up. It's connection for people. Kids getting to school, people going to work, people like me popping over from east to west Cowes, sometimes taking a shortcut because I don't want to go into the Newport traffic. And I know we had all the problems up at Statler's. So it's for me, it's a community service as much as it is anything else. And it's not perfect, and nothing's perfect. The previous one wasn't perfect. The HMS Queen Elizabeth wasn't perfect. You know, you do these things, nothing seems to quite work. But actually, I think it's pretty good. My aim was always, let's get it good and reliable. Reliable so you can get up in the morning and go down there and get to work.
But the figures are good, aren't they?
Yeah, rapidly improving now. And obviously a lot of the naysayers will go, rah, but actually we're getting it back where we need it to be. If we have both, of course, you then get the benefit of both. And the other thing to remember is we've got a fantastic offer at East Cowes of that Osborne House and the royalty and the interest. And we need, and this is another means of getting there for a lot of people.
Okay, so floating bridge doesn't replace, it will assist. Will it water down what it is and the amount it's used?
What, floating bridge?
Yeah, if we have a toll and a bridge and so on and so forth.
Well, I haven't gone that level of assessment. My gut reaction is it won't affect any of the foot passengers because actually they need to get to work and it's a quick and easy way and you wouldn't want to walk away down to a Medina bridge to come back up again. So I sense that it won't affect them. Vehicles, it will depend on what you're crossing the bridge for. If you're just going locally, again, you may not wish to do that. It's not going to affect the heavy goods traffic because that's not going across the floating bridge anyway. So I think it'll be probably marginal change. That's my thought at the moment. But the Medina Bridge might be so good and so slick and so efficient that more people to go that way. And, you know, from the council point of view, I think our job is to make the connectivity. Things change all the time, don't they? You know, yeah. Certain bridges are there today and gone tomorrow. The railway, which I'm hoping we'll be getting some good news on in the not too distant. But we've lost a lot of our old steam trains. Things do change.
I've got to be honest with you. Whoever done away with the railway in the first place, I'd like to kick him in the shins, to be quite honest, and worse than that. I can't say worse.
Especially
than
when you go down to Haven Street, and I'm sure there's lots of people who've done that. You go on those trains and fantastic. And the chap's just retired, isn't he? He was Lee Player there, and I went down there one of the weekends and I just thought, this is just another world experience, isn't it?
It is. That's Peter Vale, who's who's just an awesome chap and done an awesome
job.
So
much commitment.
Yeah.
He's turned that into another super little location to go to.
Well, it's good to know we've got people that are actually, you know, looking at this and you know, looking at the future and actually doing something about
it.
And this sounds like, you know, a whole load of positivity. There's so much positivity. There's very little negativity. I say the only potholes that I can see are the ones that, how do you keep those cyclists happy that are going down both sides of the river, the walkers and so on and so forth, because they will come across as, you know, they will have to get over that bridge at some, you know, it is what it is. You will have to get over that bridge, and obviously meet their requirements as well.
And don't forget, we're looking ahead as well, electric vehicles. You know, people talk about the environment, more electric vehicles we can get. We've got electric bikes now, so I think we're creating the environment. We can control our own destiny a bit on this.
What about, I mean, just say for instance, I'm a great believer in, if we had a train that connected to ride to Newport to Cowes, you wouldn't need this bridge, but that's probably more expensive.
It's a difficult debate. It's an interesting debate actually, because some people, because we are a very rural community, it isn't just about connecting ride to Newport or ride to Cowes. If you live out in Calbourne or in the middle of, you know, the back end of Bryston or somewhere, Haven Street, where they haven't even got a bus. And anybody listening from Haven Street, I am sighted on that, and I find that really frustrating. And I think we need to have a nice conversation with Southern Vectus about our rural transport, because people are living out there, and they need to feel part of the social net up. So the point I'm trying to make is, it's all right having a good connection between Ryde and Newport, but actually, what about the rural as well? Let's, you know, and I know they're not always that profitable, but actually, they're part of the community.
Okay. And Park and, go on, what were you going to say?
Have you seen Tapnall Farm? We've got a bus stop in actual Tapnall Farm.
Yeah, it's good.
But there's
it?
No actual bus what goes there.
Oh, is that right? Well I saw the stop. Well, I think there's one that comes along the middle road, isn't there? I'm not sure, but I think so. But Tapnall Farm, you know, another, you know, everybody's watched that grow from nothing to something.
Yeah.
It's really on the map. So it shows what can be done if you do it right. And you're right, though, we need to look at, as that gets busier, they need connectivity.
Yeah.
Good point, Oscar. Well thought through. I like it.
Do you know what? It's a training, he said. it's that, you know, you look at the, we got park and ride system. Well, I wonder whether people actually use the park and ride as much as they would on the mainland. We went to Ipswich recently and we used the park and ride thing, and it was absolutely fantastic, and it was so incredibly cheap, and it was just took all the pressures out of trying to find a parking space.
Well, it also helps. I mean, again, without disclosing too many sort of secrets, if there are such things, we are looking at park and ride. We're looking at park and ride at Ryde, because if we can get people into Ryde and parked up, they'll be able to use the fast cat service more easily. At Cowes, you've got that kind of park and ride facility, which is not so much used by park and riders park, and actually all the people in Cowes will know, with all their trying to park outside their houses, etc., they get inundated with commuters off all over the show. So I think we need to think about, as more connectivity, how we can encourage people to use a park and ride facility and then get them down through to the various terminals. And that's something we are working on at the moment.
Okay, well, let us know.
Part of our parking review, actually.
Just before we go, because we're running out of time, we need to have details on, if you want to take part, put your 5 eggs in and so on, how do they do that?
What, to this show or to me?
Don't read out your telephone number.
No. Well, it's on the web anyway. I get those calls. I mean, on the... we obviously do a lot of consultation work now on different things. You know, the Undercliff Drive, which is in my area, we're just about to go out to consultation on that, so people will be able to go on the website and have a look, fill in their forms. Medina Bridge, there will be a clear consultation process on, directly as well as indirectly, you know, engaging with the local town and parish councils. So we will try and get as much of that put out. But people like you and the other media networks are quite important on this, and I am grateful you let me come here and chat it through. And
anytime.
Yeah, no worries.
We've got to go, Dave, because we've got to get to the news on time. Laura and Archie and John Lee Hacker are on the way. Thanks very much for coming in and spending some time with us and answering them tricky questions from Oscar.
Especially that Spurs one.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day. Thanks, Oscar, as well.
It's all right.